Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. I'm Haley Stasiak with Jordan Hamm. Let's start off talking Diamondbacks. Jake Lamb was named National League Player of the Week. Over the last five games, he batted .412 with seven runs, a double, four home runs, and 10 RBIs. He's really been settling in and breaking out lately.
He's been looking great, and it's been one of those things that you've seen the progression for him. You saw the power numbers last year, but the average is certainly going with it. And Jonah Carey brought up an interesting point in his team rankings, the MLB power rankings that he does each week. He showed the slashes between right-handed and left-handed for Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb's hitting .342 against right-handed pitching, .156 against left-handed pitching. That's something that has been a theme for him. Last year, lefties really attacked him. They didn't really have much protection for him, but this year they have Yasmani Tomas behind him, Paul Goldschmidt ahead of him. So while the numbers may not be great, Carey brings up a good point when he's batting against left-handers. If he can get to a league average, which is, you know, roughly, you know, we'll say .240, he would be an MVP candidate. So we've seen the power. He hit his first home run against a lefty just a few weeks ago, over the course of about a year and a half. So he's really starting to really come into his own in that way. And it's just been very interesting to see the progression that he's had over the past 2 years or so, going from a pretty highly touted guy to really delivering from the get-go. And sure, he's had his ups and downs, but you're really seeing him fully flourish into a full-fledged ball player now.
And, you know, there's a little bit of talk about maybe not having him in the lineup against those left-handed pitchers, but in a way, you almost think putting him in against those left-handed pitchers will help the development against those guys, and as you mentioned, getting those numbers up to be an MVP candidate.
Sure, and getting those game reps is always going to be crucial. You can only do so much in a batting cage. You can only do so much in batting practice. So getting him to do that while you have a lineup that's putting up over seven runs a ball game lately, it's certainly not handcuffing your offense to have him in there when a lefty's in. And again, this is how you grow into becoming an everyday player. You know, this was a knock that was on his game coming up, and he's still figuring it out. But other than that, he's been tremendous for them this year, specifically in the past week.
In the past couple of weeks, the Diamondbacks split a two-game series with the Tigers, a four-game series with the Pirates. Then they came back home and they swept the Mets, and they took 2 of 3 in San Diego. Coming into a short homestand with the White Sox, and then they're going to take a long road trip to the Midwest in Florida. Let's talk a little bit about this starting rotation pitching. I'm really liking what I'm seeing out of Greinke. We have Greinke coming up Monday night, Corbin on Tuesday night, and then TJ McFarland. He was brought up to replace Taijuan Walker, who is placed on the 10-day DL with a blister on his right index finger. But Greinke's been lights out. He's 5-2 with a .309 ERA. His last outing, he pitched six and two-thirds, and he only allowed 4 runs on 5 hits with 8 strikeouts. So he's definitely my guy that I'm keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate for Taijuan Walker to suffer this injury. He's gotten his ERA all the way down to 3.46. He's really put a couple of pretty good starts together, been able to go deep in the ball game. He was coming off arguably one of the best starts of his career, of his Diamondbacks career, with 6 innings pitched, just giving up 2 hits, walking 3, striking 3 out, and really helping lead that charge with those dominant wins over San Diego.
Two
dominant wins. This was the one where they won 10-1. Mm-hmm. So as Torrey Lovello likes to say, they were playing downhill by the time he was able to take the rubber. But that's a development you want to certainly keep an eye on. Those blisters are something. It could be nothing. It could be a lingering injury. You've seen plenty of players be sidelined because of that, and based on the grips, and you can see him maybe kind of overcompensate for certain grips and things like that. I'm not saying he's going to do that, but that's something certainly to keep an eye on, especially as he's putting it together, especially in his first year with the Diamondbacks.
Taiwan Walker has made such an improvement, but Patrick Corbin is the only pitcher in the starting rotation with a losing record. He's 3-4. He's got a 4.38 ERA. One of the guys that's going to have to start stepping up in this rotation, definitely.
Yeah, and he's had two starts where they've gotten wins, but he has struggled. I was at the game against the Mets where he threw six innings, gave up four earned runs, gave up two home runs, struck out six, and it was just sort of a grind-em-out game. He certainly found his footing throughout his start and things like that. He's had back-to-back starts like that where he's been able to get to the six inning mark, but no further. And this is something that, there are going to be ups and downs with your rotation and with just performance as a whole throughout the season. He's arguably probably the one that started the strongest. Probably him and Robbie Ray.
I would agree with that.
And, you've seen his ERA balloon up a little bit. This is something that he can turn around and turn around quickly as they go on to this road trip, pitching at home, and then they'll be on the road for quite a while. So, this is something that Pat's certainly gone through before, and you've had, him going kind of right there with Zach Greinke, kind of following him up. So hopefully he can kind of play off of Zach's strong start and continue to get through this season.
Let's talk injuries. So far they've been decently minor, not great. You don't never want injuries. And especially what happened to Chris Iannetta May 12th. He was hit in the face with a pitch, and he did return to lineup on Sunday night. He showed no fear, stepping back into the box, went yard in the third inning for the Diamondbacks' only run on Sunday night. He was wearing a face guard, and then we've got the injury that everyone's probably most keeping an eye on with AJ Pollock. He's got a grade 1 groin strain, opposite of what he had last year, and there's no timetable for his return.
Yeah, isn't it incredible with Chris Iannetta? I mean, the next day it looked like
he healed pretty quickly.
His face was split wide open. I mean,
and when you watch the video, you just cringe.
And he's back. He's totally fine. Hit the home run yesterday and is, just back
in
there.
Well, and he said the day after he was ready to get back in the lineup, but they had him on the concussion DL.
Right.
And obviously they were going to take the necessary precautions with that, not let him get right back into it, but he was ready to go.
I mean, whatever superhero traits he has, I'm sure the government's going to try to bottle that one up. But with AJ Pollock, I mean, this is the guy, short of Goldschmidt and probably Greinke, this is the guy that, he's right up there with them on the guys that you do not want to get injured. He does so much at the top of that lineup. He does so much in the field. He does so much on the bases, helps setting the tone. So it seems like they're doing good, kind of filling the holes. Chris Owings being able to move to the outfield and still, he's hitting right around 320, being very productive at the plate. And the fact that you can then move him over, have Nick Ahmed at short, certainly helps the situation. It seems like they're better equipped than they were last year for the AJ Pollock injury and the David Peralta injury and things like that. But certainly you're going to want him to get back, especially they're right up there in the NL West, and the Dodgers are only getting stronger. Cody Bellinger is leading that charge, that power resurgence. The Rockies seem to be doing just fine. So, and at some point, I feel like the Giants are going to piece things together and make a run, and maybe not to the top of the division, but there's too much talent in that lineup for them just to be a doormat. So you definitely want to get Pollock back at the top of that lineup.
But you mentioned that he is keeping, or they have managed to kind of put themselves in a situation where they can move Owings and move Ahmed. And I think that's really big, because that moving forward, if something is super serious with Pollock's injury, they have that to kind of give them the cushion and keep them in a good position.
Right. It's the perfect reflection of this year versus last year. Last year, everything that could have gone wrong at the beginning of the year and the air was sucked out of that ballpark happened, and they weren't able to recover. Now, injuries are a part of the game. Things are going to happen. Taiwan Walker's going to get blisters. AJ Pollock's going to get injured. You know, things are never going to be just hunky-dory for 162 games. But the fact that they're able to respond and Chris Owings is versatile enough to assume that position, and it doesn't seem to be affecting his offensive output and things like that, that's just huge. And I think that speaks to from the top down. You know, I think Mike Hazen, Torrey Lovello, both of them are – it's – to a degree a next man up mentality, but also just like, hey, stuff happens, let's deal with it.
How to deal with it.
Let's, you know, let's take on those moments and those winning moments that Lovello always seems to be talking about and take advantage of it.
Let's move into the college front now. Over the weekend, Arizona swept ASU. This is the first season in 54 years that ASU is not going to hit their 30 wins. That was the longest active streak in NCAA history. That's coming to an end. Head coach Tracy Smith said a couple weeks ago that he told athletic director Ray Anderson that 2017 was going to be the bad year, and clearly it was, but I think there's a lot to look forward to moving forward, and that's in the freshmen primarily. You've got Hunter Bishop, Carter Aldretti, and Lyle Lynn, who are big hitters. And then on the bump, you've got Chaz Montoya, Connor Higgins, who's returning. He'll be a junior. He's really been impressive this last half of the season. And then you've got Zane Strand, who had Tommy John surgery at the start of the season. He was expected to be a big contributor to this pitching rotation, and I think we'll see if he can make an impact next year, and that could be a total game changer for the Sun Devils.
And as you look at it, the recruiting classes haven't been affected. Right. While the team currently there hasn't performed up to what the
ASU standards
ASU standards. And I know the 30 wins per year was a huge thing and the winning seasons were a huge thing, but they certainly do have the pieces that you talked about. Gage Canning's also there.
Yes, he's
going to be a good centerpiece for this offense and defense, but they're continuing to bring in quality. And ASU's having a down year, but I've been able to talk to a few of the in-state guys that are going there, and they all say the same thing. They say, yes, they're down, but they're still ASU.
Mm-hmm.
So they're still going to continue to get talent. I think Tracy Smith is continuing to try to transition to make it his own program, and he does have a good track record.
A good track record of turning things around with this similar situation.
Sure, sure. And, you know, he came from Indiana where they were not a perennial power, and then all of a sudden they were making runs mm-hmm. to the College World Series and, you know, going deep in the playoffs. So this is something, yes, it's in my eyes, I think it's going to be a blip. The next 2 years are obviously going to be crucial for Smith and for the program as a whole, but let's not sound the alarms. The sky isn't falling. This was a rough year for not only the roster, but the transition that he's trying to make as he continues to bring his guys in, and his guys are becoming upperclassmen.
When you mentioned that it's not the end of the world, they did hang with Arizona this past weekend. It wasn't enough to put them ahead or on top, but they did hang with them. And then you also mentioned Gage Canning being kind of the center point of that. He was going to have to step into that role anyways with Andrew Shapps potentially moving on to the MLB this season since he's eligible after his junior year. But Shapps was dismissed early this season for not buying into team culture, as it was reported. So Canning has already had to step up into that role, and he's taken the role in center field. He's got Hunter Bishop in right field, and Miles Denson has kind of taken over primarily in left field these past couple weekends. So he's having to step up into that role earlier, which could end up benefiting them next season.
Certainly, and it's a trial by fire situation, and it seemed like every year, even with the Pat Murphy era, mm-hmm. there was always one or two positions where it's, hey, they're covered with a seasoned Pac-10 veteran, and then they got to throw somebody in there. And it seemed like with those teams, more often than not, it worked out. And in this case, it's worked out. I think that Tracy's gone through plenty of situations where he's had to throw guys in just by necessity.
Oh, yeah,
and it hasn't panned out. But I think Gage Canning's a special player who they can certainly build things around and off of, and he can help kind of usher in this new era almost.
This is the last weekend of the regular season. We're going to find out the end of the weekend if Arizona may be hosting a regional, which would be huge for the Wildcats. And they've got excellent facilities down there. It would be great for Tucson and that entire area. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. Oregon State won Pac-12 champions.
What?
Clearly. I mean, that's no surprise. But GCU won outright WAC title. Which is pretty impressive. I've said it before. I'm really excited to see what they can bring moving forward in Division I when they're eligible for the postseason next year.
And they're bringing in plenty of in-state talent, including Cole Bellinger, who we're going to talk about him a little bit more later in the show. But this is, again, like ASU, a great recruiting class that's coming in. And in terms of Arizona, right now they're number 16 in the Baseball America top 25. 16 teams host regionals, so we will see where they if they are able to pull that one out. Usually the committee likes to go to a more consistent weather-wise location, so that's in Tucson's favor. We'll certainly see. Those hiccups they've had the past couple of weeks, against Stanford and things like that, that certainly doesn't help things, but they're certainly still in the running. And the run that they made last year, I think, helps as well.
Well, and that being said, that's happened to them a couple times this season where they started off really strong, hit a little bit of that valley, got back up, and now they're in a little bit of another valley. So maybe we'll see them back at that peak coming into postseason play.
And, you know, last year they were not one of the premier programs in coming into this playoff. They had their back up against the wall plenty of times. They were kind of an under-the-radar team, and they made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. So in terms of performance, I'm not worried about what they're going to be doing in this regional or potentially super regional or even College World Series. This is a group that returned a lot of talent from those teams. So I think they can certainly go deep in the postseason, but just strictly in terms of the hosting, we'll see what happens with that. Obviously a huge advantage when you can have one, potentially two weekends at home and be sleeping in your own bed and that sort of thing. So this is certainly going to be a interesting week. I believe the selection committee is a week from today.
Yes.
or the selection show, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then things get rolling the following week. So it's going to come quick. And I think you and I both agree there are a few things better than postseason college baseball.
We'd really like for that to be done in Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly.
You mentioned Cole Bellinger, and his brother Cody is just blowing up every single outlet covering Major League Baseball with the Dodgers. But he impressed in the state championship game last Tuesday. They ended up winning the 6A outright. So what kind of moving forward with this Hamilton team and then Cole at the next level, he's committed to GCU, do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, actually, Brad Sesmat, our
CEO,
wonderful
founder,
leader and fearless leader, actually had a pretty cool interview with Jen Bellinger, Cody and Cole's mom. It was the day after the state championship where she was watching MLB at bat while at Cole's game. I guess Cody was pinch hitting towards the end of the game, and Cole was pitching his team to a state championship. And just kind of about the being a baseball mom and what the past couple months have been. But she could not say enough good things about GCU and Andy Stankiewicz, and I tend to agree with that. We spoke just a few minutes ago about how they're really building a juggernaut out here, and just another quality baseball program that will be postseason eligible next year. So he's going to be a part of that charge. I know that there were some other teams that were in the finals that had guys that were headed to GCU this next mm-hmm. year. We'll see what happens with the draft. You never really know how high guys get taken. Cole could potentially be a guy that might move on if he gets picked high enough, but that's something that every quality high school baseball player has to deal with. So it's always kind of like, yeah, he's a commit. Well, if things don't go crazy in the draft and that sort of thing. But yeah, I think Cole certainly has a great future ahead of him, as do many of these Hamilton Huskies. Drew Swift is an ASU commit. Nick Bruiser is headed to Stanford. But it was actual Michael Bruiser, was the one who delivered a pretty big hit in that state championship game, the younger brother. So it's quite a family affair over at Hamilton, but congratulations to them. And congrats to Kellis. They were the 5A state title winner. Number 13 seed that made a run. Adrian Salazar pitched in five of their six games this postseason. And before people jump on the Kellis coaching staff about pitch count and things like that, they were actually so dominant. The games were spaced out so much that he was actually able to do that. So good on them. Congratulations to them. And when a number 13 seed wins a state championship, I think that just speaks to how strong the high school baseball scene is out here. So something certainly to keep an eye on for future years. Just the entire baseball landscape out here is just so strong.
And that high school level translates into the collegiate level as well, because a lot of these coaches are staying in state and they recognize the talent that is here at these Arizona high schools and they're going after it.
Right. Those guys are the priority.
Let's now move on to our Arizona Big Leaguer of the Week. We've got Eric Sogard.
Yeah, Eric Sogard of the Milwaukee Brewers, an ASU alumnus, a Thunderbird alumnus. This guy grew up playing the game here. The past 10 games is batting 500, 11 for 22, has had a couple 4-for-4 games, also two home runs, seven RBIs, two stolen bases. He actually started in the outfield, his first career outfield start. Former Diamondback Craig Counsell moved him out there because he just said his bat is so hot, we need to keep him in the lineup. The infield was fully healthy, so they threw him in the outfield, which I believe at ASU he might have played a little bit of outfield as well. But definitely a fan favorite for the Sun Devils. Was also in the middle of that Face of the MLB competition. Do you remember that from a few years ago?
Vaguely.
So the MLB during the offseason put it up to each team to vote for who the face of their team was. And then eventually it was going to be one final person who was the face of the MLB. The fun-loving group that is the Oakland A's fan base decided to vote their defensive specialist second baseman Eric Sogard as theirs. And this is, I believe, Cespedes was on this team. There were some big names on this team, but they decided to do Eric Sogard, and they got him all the way to the finals. It was him against David Wright, and up until like the last hour, Eric Sogard was the leader, and then a flood of David Wright votes came in. Some A's fans that I know believe it's quite the conspiracy that all of a sudden David Wright was the winner of that. But anyway, his nickname is Face for that reason. Face Sogard is having quite the run the past 10 games with batting 11 for 22.
Well, and also the Brewers themselves have been having quite a run here. They're sitting atop the National League Central. So I'm going to restate that. The National League Central. I, like, read it.
The National League Central.
3-2-1. Well, and also, the Brewers themselves have been having quite a run. They are sitting atop the NL Central at 25-19. Put up a fight against the Cubs, too, who...
Right.
They're having a little bit of up and down right now, but... Yeah, sitting atop NL Central. So.
And Ryan Braun's been out for the 10-day DL. He just got back, so they're going to be even stronger. And one other Eric Sogard note. I know you saw it on social media, but his daughter.
Oh, my gosh.
She was just so distraught because I forgot.
Her dad hit the home run.
Were they playing the Cubs?
I don't think it was at the Cubs yet, no.
But, okay, so anyway, they lost a game on a walk-off. And his daughter didn't understand why the Brewers lost because Daddy hit a home run and the other team hit a home run, but Daddy hit a home run first. So why? And it's pretty adorable. We'll tweet it out and have it in the podcast post because it's pretty darn funny. Just a distraught baseball fan and daughter of Eric Sogard.
That's what we've got for you this week on Diamonds in the Desert. Be sure to check out sports360az.com for more of our baseball content. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.